What's going on, everybody? The Three Wide Season 6 finale starts right now. Country, what is going on? The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, the season finale. Eddie Greer, aka EG3, for the podcast. It's going to be a little bit different on this edition tonight as I'm recording this podcast on a chilly, chilly Manhattan, Kansas midweek Wednesday, folks. Of course, the Three Wide Podcast, EG3, all about the latest and what's going on in the world of NASCAR Motorsports, Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the previous divisions, and all the motorsports. And yes, usually this is the end of the year. Well, obviously this is the end of the year. We're handing out the EG3 awards, but this is going to be slightly different this season, obviously due to my, well, lately busy, chaotic schedule. But I finally carved out some time tonight on another edition of the EG3 Awards for Top Races of 2021 edition. That is right. I'm going to give you, folks, my top 10 favorite races in between the three divisions from 2021. And got just a couple of honorable mentions were thrown in there as well. Before I get started on that, of course, the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, get it wherever you get your podcast. If you're a new listener to this podcast, I appreciate you. If you're new to the show, of course, when you go back, I have posted off-season content so far, and after this one, I'm going to take, obviously, a two-week hiatus of the podcast, and we'll be back with new episodes around mid-January. So that's what I'm shooting for as well. I'm going to take a short time out, obviously, to ring in the new year and such things like that. Obviously, I'm just recording this just now, a couple of days before 2022 comes around the corner. Obviously, we're going to play some tributes here to a couple of big people who've passed away recently here in the middle of my top 10 favorite races from this past season as we get started. So yeah, that's kind of the plan, unless things change. I know I started a lot this year with a couple of episodes, big episodes as well, interviews that I've done as well. You might see those pop up again, at least the top three episodes. They might be all still on this drive on my recorder. We'll see how that goes, but I'm probably might repost two of them. I know for a fact. Well, obviously, if you have not listened to Nick Sanchez one recently, you might want to go check that out as well. He came on briefly to talk about his new plans for 2022 as well. That's up there as well. Briar Starr, the latest edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, he came on, a friend of the show, obviously a friend and a friend of the show. He came on recently to chat about the season as well. So we'll see about how that goes as well. But yeah, I think there's two more. I think some of them, one of them that I love, that I really enjoyed all year long, that could be reposted as well as kind of the best of probably in between 2 weeks of the hiatus. And then I'm going to bring you new content in mid-January, like I said. And possibly there might be a new interview squeaked in there. We'll see how that goes. Maybe an interview or two like I did last year. I kind of started off like this year with a couple of new interviews as well. So definitely I'm going to be shooting for that as well. I do have a couple of candidates that I want to get on the podcast still as well. I know some of the fans of the show wanted me to get a couple of folks on this show. So we'll see what I can do, obviously, with dealing with an almost two-year-old now and having Chase around the house. I got my hands full there, so it's been kind of been whatever, but I've been able to still post content without doing the interviews, so it's been still been good as well. So that's kind of what's in store for, well, this will be going out either, I think this is going to go out tomorrow night. Yeah, this will go out tomorrow night because Friday is New Year's Eve, and I don't think anybody's going to be paying attention nonetheless to a podcast or whatnot, but this will go out Thursday night, and then, yeah, instead of waiting until Sunday to do it, because it will be by then, Lord willing, it will be the new year. It doesn't make sense to post my favorite races from this past year on to 2022. So, but definitely, I would be on the lookout for maybe at least two best of interviews. One of them is probably the top three, if not the top of that. I was probably just going to give you this to you right now. Obviously, we had Daryl on the podcast, Joe Lynn Wilkinson interview was really, really good. I thought we were going to get that one due to time constraints there, but that one turned out really good. So you guys might see that, scan that again in its entirety. I'm not going to edit anything, not going to do anything with that. And I think there's one more at least somewhere. If not, then I'm just going to have to roll along with it. But you're at least see two best ofs before new content season 7. Yet I'm going to do another season 7 of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. We'll be back in session. I'm going to be maybe having a couple new things in store and whatnot. So I'm excited about that as well. But I'm rambling long enough. I'm almost, 8 minutes in the show and haven't even gotten to my top 10. Well, started my top 10 yet. So I might as well just go do that right now. All right. So I'm going to hit this from 10 to 1, obviously. So I'm going to get, I don't know how long all this is going to take. It's just going to be the EG3 award, the top 10 edition of the EG3 Heroes this time around. I'm not going to go a whole almost 2 hours because I have another podcast to do a little bit after this. So this is going to be somewhat a little quick in there. I had to do some memory bubbling there, but most of these I do remember. So here we go. All right. So number 10 on this list. You got to go back all the way to the very first race of the year, Daytona 500, and some people mark was an upset, and other people wasn't too surprised, but you can categorize this Michael McDowell, one of the more underrated, underspoken speedway racers in the business, capitalizing on what could have been a 1-2 Penske Daytona Penske Championship there with Logano and Keselowski, and on the final lap, and this race this race right here was delayed a couple of times. No, not a couple of times. One time, this race was delayed at least 2 hours. Obviously, this race changed right from the get-go. I think not even 2 laps in, ten laps in to the race, right? You have the big one there. Christopher Bell gets tapped. Bell, Almirola. The combination, whatever you want to call it, the combination of the two get together and spark the big one, taking a few big drivers out like it normally does on these speedway races. Daytona, Talladega, when it comes to these type of races, that's what it comes down to. And that changed the game. And then the chaos pretty much started right before the rain ensued, and then following that, it was, what, a 3 or 4 hour delay? Something like that. And then everything just stopped after that. And after the race resumed almost half day later, you would have called it sarcastically, everything picked up. But after that, yeah, everything was just a drag-out kind of game, drag-out kind of race because of what happened. Not even 20 laps in the race, you had guys all over each other, bumping each other and whatnot. So, you know, that's that's the way things go. But yeah, that definitely changed it. And then you get your fans out there saying, well, you know, what happened? Well, what happened was everybody got aggressive too early. That's what happened there. Nobody was patient. And you have the big one where everything just changed from then on. And when everything resumed in action, it was basically single file racing all the way into the very end, pretty much there. So that's what memory that I took from that was, you're not even 25, you're not even a fourth. Yes, weather, and you know my issue with weather on this forecast. You know, weather too close to the racetrack. Yeah, you have, you have that kind of, I said in the, before in the past, weather close to track, you shouldn't start. A pretty much example, New Hampshire this year, where the rain is right on top of the racetrack, and you start it, and your top two guys, five laps in, turn, spin out, and turn one. One of them gets backhanded. Well, actually, two of them, Kyle Busch gets knocked out of the race early. Mark Trish Jr. gets damaged on the rear end and takes him out. What could have been a good finish. We don't know if he had a good car or not, because obviously the rain track took him out, and the people in the tower don't have don't have the common DC to say, hey, look, there's rain on the racetrack, let's hold up for a moment. So yeah, that still bothers me to this time. But yeah, this one came down to the final laps there, and McDowell, who usually you see him in that Lowe's car up there in the top five, top six for the last few speedway races now, where we've seen him, and this is not just now, he's been doing this for a few years, knack of speedway racing, he knows how to get himself up there. And the laughing, the honorary of this is Clayton Hughes, the former spotter of Mark Trish Jr., got called out early on in the week or something like that of being a bat. It was Martin Trish Jr.'s changing spotters to Drew Herring because of the fact that they couldn't get it done, couldn't finish a damn speedway race. And then I don't think this year Martin still didn't finish a speedway race. Actually, he did finish going back to the the season finale, not this year, but last year. That's the last time he's finished one. And I think this year he wrecked out on all of them. So and then Clayton had a shot at the boy, JGR boy, saying, how about that? You know, you lead McDowell to a Daytona 500 championship. So how about that? You know, that's the honor right there. How about that? You give away a good spotter in Clayton Hughes, and then bam, all of a sudden from speedway misery to bam, you're a Daytona 500 champion spotter. That's damn if you do, damn if you don't dare. That's luck that I can't have with my teams or drivers sometimes. But it's instance. But that's my number 10 race right there. Penske could have had a 1-2, but of course they take each other they take each other out. But a non-funny note there, Keselowski up in the catch fence, fire everywhere. That also drew a big one there. And then everything just stopped. This one ended under checkered flag yellow combination there, where McDowell just was in front of Austin Dillon and Chase Elliott. Well, either way you want to put it, he was out in front of both of them when it mattered. So that's that as well. That's number 10. Number 9, same weekend early on in the season. This is from the Capable Truck Series. I don't have only but two on here, and you could probably guess the other one if you're a big follower of this podcast. But Ben Rhodes, all the way back then, we didn't know this was going to be the start of his title run. But now that he's won the championship, going back a month or so ago now, Ben Rhodes started his championship run at Daytona with holding off a fierce run from Jordan Anderson late, and then Corey Roper at one point was leading this race at one point. I thought this was going to be a huge upset if Corey Roper was going to pull that out eventually, but he didn't. He got blown away on a run there. Ben Rhodes, this started the first of back-to-back wins early on the year for Ben Rhodes in that 99 truck for Thor Sport Racing there. So that opened up the can, and those were the only two wins of the season for Ben Rhodes. So that, he kind of went off the radar. I said this a couple of episodes ago on this podcast. He kind of went off the radar a little bit, but I called him out in a good way, saying that, he's a little bit more consistent, and he's grown from, obviously, last year, the antics last year. We know Ben Rhodes is a fiery guy, and now he's come kind of officially become an elder statesman. I mean, he ain't old, but he's been in the truck series a long time and finally cashed in on his championship this year. So that kind of jump-started his title run here in 2021.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
That is your number nine, my number nine moment right there, here on the EG3 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 on the number eight. This is another guy that came on the scene here, and we heard quite a bit about him. If you are a listener, I'm sure everybody listens to the Dale Jr. download, but if you're not, Dale Jr. Has kind of groomed this cat into what he is now, and this guy should have been full-time this year, will be next season. That person is Josh Berry. Yeah, Josh Berry, he's number eight, the win at Martinsville. Prior to this, he dominated Martinsville in all types of series. And you're going to catch this a theme here on his podcast for the rest of the night, but I was at Longhorns. This turned out to be a Sunday race. This was the same weekend as Mark Trez Jr.'s win early on in the season as well. I believe Martin's first win of 2021. But yeah, Barry, I was at. This race was supposed to run on Saturday night or Friday night, one of the two, and it got moved to Sunday afternoon and after church, right? So we're going to Longhorns, right? And they're showing, well, a couple of screens were showing the Xfinity Series race, right? So they had it up, and I do a double take on it, and the next thing I know, I see the one car. Josh Berry did run the one car for quite a bit this year, subbing for Michael Annette, but in the eight car, right? Josh Berry up front, holding off a pesky Hemric and Gregson throughout the last, quarter of the race right there, and Josh Berry, he looked very good, and lord and behold, that kind of set off something right there. That win, first in a national series for Josh Berry, that set off something for him right there. And he obviously pumped and emotional. He made bank at Martinsville before even jumping in here. So obviously Josh Berry before that, I think, ran very well at Daytona. He was in the top 10. This is early portion of the year of the NASCAR season. And he caught a bad break toward the end of that Daytona race there. In fact, I think he ran another race before Martinsville. I'm not really sure. But all I know, remember is walking in there and just having kind of talking with your family and then glance at TV at the same time. You know what it is. At the same time, man, bam, he's right up there. And yeah, I think the race went green the rest of the way. There was one caution, and then the race just went green there the rest of the way there. And Josh Berry was damn impressive right there. And Dale Jr. could have just put him in there full time. But obviously, he had other drivers and other sponsors slated. But we're going to see Josh Berry full time in what he does in 2022. I wouldn't put it past him that. I want to go out far as say, folks, that Three Wide Country, that he could be an absolute player for a championship. And that's too much for ask. I don't know. You can do the math on that. But hey, he showed me something right there, and he with the big dogs, and he got it done. So Josh Berry, number eight race right there, he delivered big time there, and that set a sail a huge momentum shift in his season there. We saw him up front. This guy was up front, mile and a half tracks, speedway races. Obviously, you know what you're gonna get from him on a short track, but that the mile and a half with Josh Berry, it was really impressive, especially Darlington. That's really hard to go there, your first try there, and to run good. And for Josh Berry to do that, that was impressive. And he got up there, that's what you got to do. I'm sorry to get off track here a little bit, but that's what you got to do in a marathon or a long race like that, is you got to pick your spots, be patient, do what you need to do, and bam, that's what you got, right? So now you have this opportunity, right, to go there and just to be patient. Darlington's one of those tracks where you have to race the racetrack. You hear all the commentary, you hear everybody say that, right? The former drivers say, hey, Darlington's tough to get around, right? So there you go. Josh Berry, he was very impressive. I really like Josh Berry. So I'm really intrigued to see what he does in a full-time schedule next year. And I wouldn't put it past him that you still got to deal with Gregson, though. Hemrick's is part, well, he's going to be back. He's full-time in the X. I keep forgetting about this. Maybe because it's the offseason, but Hemrick's going to be back, as far as I know, from Briar Star in the last episode of Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, which is a good episode, by the way. If you have not listened to that, please download it and check that out wherever you get your podcast. Let's see. Yeah, Brandon Jones is back. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I keep saying it. It's going to be really interesting next year to see what it's like. You lose Cindric to the Cup Series. You lose Harrison Burton to the Cup Series as well. So you got those two, but you're going to get Dinger back as well. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on next season. Number seven on the list there. And it goes back to what I said. If you have been a listener to this podcast for the last, couple of years now, you know where I'm going to go with this. If not, then stay tuned. All right, so number seven on this list, my dude, Martin Truex Jr. completes the triple. And when I say that, he never won in a truck series race, right? We know he's a two-time champ in the Xfinity Series and obviously a cup champion and a now three-time runner-up in postseason format mode. Truex, I had no idea this was coming. And I was on the road at work, right? So I almost forgot about this truck race. So it came out to me I put a reminder on my phone, right? So I'm on the road a lot for work, and I put a reminder on my phone and I almost forgot. So 30 minutes. Oh, dang. So now I don't really tune in until the halfway mark of this race, but I do take a little peek, right? So I peek in there like, oh, it's going to be a long, well, obviously, you know, Truex, we think of him, you don't think of him as a dirt racer. You don't. You just don't. So I'm like thinking to myself, well, damn, it's going to be a long-ass weekend, right? And confusing the fact that going in, a lot of people had Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell as favorites, as the odds on straight-on favorites, right, to win these races. And turn out, Sunday, those guys got together, and Truex had a chance to win the Cup race, too, until a little stupid flat tire ruined any chances of not even a win, but a good finish at top of that, because he was in the top five when that happened. I was a little bummed out, but at the same time, I wasn't too bummed out because, hey, I mean, damn, you showed out. But here, he really showed out in the truck race. And obviously, though, you're in Kyle Busch Motorsports Equipment, and he put it on. He put an ass kicking on the field. That's not the last time you're going to hear me say that here tonight on this podcast, but Yeah, that was something. And obviously, Ben Rhodes got hot late and tried to track down Truex down late, but it was too little too late there, and Mark Truex Jr. stole the show. That was a complete upset, in my opinion there. That's an upset when you have no experience there on dirt, and you go there, Bristol of all things, and everybody's in NASCAR, in the NASCAR world was wondering, okay, you know, what's going to happen in this racetrack, right? What's going to happen is we're going to get a bleep show, or we're going to get some good racing. Well, turn out that we got, even though Mark Truex Jr. stunned everybody, we got a good show, not only for the truck race, but definitely the cup race. We saw guys that don't have dirt experience that were up front. Truex was up there leading a lap. That momentum carried in to the cup race. The cup race, because he had what it turned out to be, really, because the truck race was supposed to run the night before, and it didn't because of all the rain and everything else. They had to get the track prepared and whatnot. It turned out to be a doubleheader on the same day, and Truex almost pulled it out. I was going to be jumping. I was going to be pumped up for joy. He did that, but unfortunately, again, late in the cup race there, he was in the top five, and he cut a tire or something like that. He ended up finishing 21st or 22nd, one of the two things. Like that. So yeah, I mean that's what you're gonna get right there. But hey man, that was a surprise right there. I was super happy at that. We could Truex Nation again, shout out to you guys again. Another great season in the books here on this podcast. Truex Nation, you know who you are. I'm talking to everybody and made some new friends MTJ fans this year along the ways, and hoping to do that again next year, along with getting back, talking about racing in a new era of racing next year, obviously. So, again, shout out to Truex Nation. We didn't win the championship, but we finished runner-up. I mean, first loser, but, hey, man, you couldn't have predicted that before the playoffs and the Cup Series, but you couldn't even predicted this. I mean, yeah, so you would have said Kyle Larson would come out here and dominate it, but it was a rough day for him. And several others as well. So, yeah, I mean, that was a complete stunner, in my opinion, but a happy stunner at that, at number seven there. Truex stealing the show and a dirt race in the Cup Capable Truck Series there. Number six, going to mark the halfway point here before I honor a couple of people here. Number six, Ty Gibbs. This was another one that I was at Tex Longhorns for. I believe it was for a different reason. I can't remember that, but Ty Gibbs. Woo! He set his mark this year with this win. And it comes, obviously, I didn't think of Ty Gibbs as a road course racer. There is no way in hell that, you know, Ty Gibbs, out of all people, you know, would come to the scene on a road course. But that's exactly what happened. And he did it against good competition. Obviously, when you think of road courses, what do you think of the last several years? Allmendinger, Shendrick, right? And sometimes Allgaier in there as well, but those two. And that pattern did not change this year for one bit. And really, actually, all three of them, it didn't change. It didn't change. Ty Gibbs put the move on, I believe it was Allmendinger, late at the Glen to steal that one away. And Ty Gibbs, the emotional win and everything out. We heard of Ty Gibbs before in the ARCA series, how he's a talented race car driver, but at the same time, loves to go over the edge, emotional. Did this under 20 phenom, right? Very emotional. Is not afraid to speak his mind, right? That's what I heard. And then here, after the win, people were hating on him and whatnot and everything else. Like, man, let's leave dude alone. Let's leave him alone. Enjoy the moment there. And Ty having to endure all the fan excitement, but at the same time, for whatever reason, backlash from this win. For whatever reason, man. I mean, dude just won his first Xfinity race and over Austin Cindric. By the way, Austin Cindric had a damaged race car at this point. Actually, after banging doors with Allmendinger and taking him out of the race, that killed my fantasy. I remember that, being pissed about that. But yeah, I mean, this was must see right here. Cindric couldn't get there fast enough, and Gibbs with the upset there, and that's kind of started a trend there where Ty Gibbs is fearless, man. And I'm intrigued to see what the plans are for Ty going into 2022, at least for the Xfinity side. So that's going to be really interesting to see, find out, to see what happens there. I mean, I don't know anything much at this time. Obviously, we're wrapping up the year on this podcast, but yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what happens from there. So, but yeah, that's my number six favorite race there, the Roval, the Daytona Road Course Roval, where Ty Gibbs, they're coming on in the scene, and he prior to that, with less than, I believe it was less than five to go, he made a daring move on Cindric there to basically seal it there. So, yeah, Ty Gibbs, somebody to keep an eye on through next year. So, there's that as well. We're at the halfway mark of my 10 favorite races from 2021 EG3 Award Edition. Top 10 favorite races from the year. And we're going to do honorable mention coming out of the break. But I want to bring this before we take a time out here and just pass along here some unfortunate news, obviously. Yesterday, football-wise, we lost John Madden. I was a big John Madden fan with the games, with the Madden EA Sports games. I was really big into that back in the day and still am, but not as much as it was back then, obviously. We lost John Madden yesterday. Literally almost 24 hours, and then this past week, Bob Keselowski and Martha Meemaw Earnhardt also unfortunately passed last week or so as well. So I just wanted to bring that up as well. We're going to step aside on that note, and on the other side of our little intermission timeout, honorable mention, and then I'll bring you the rest of my favorite races from this year. So again, prayers to the Earnhardt family and Keselowski family and family and friends of the John Madden family for their unfortunate losses this weekend. Season 6, season finale of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast is back with a special edition of the EG3 Award Show, my top 10 favorite races from 2021, Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3 for the podcast. Latest in motorsports, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. I almost said monster on the podcast. The three missions of motorsports right there. I just gave you the bottom five. And now I'm going to give you my honorable mention here before wrapping up with the second half of this countdown here. First, actually, I'm going to do it this way. Yeah, so the first one comes from the Xfinity Series. Arnold Mencham. Myatt Snyder. Upset City. Who would have thought Myatt Snyder, all people, from RCR, holding off, not only top of that, a former Xfinity champion and a Cup rookie. That person is Tyler Reddick, who, well, later on, we find out that he got disqualified for not posting tech. But Snyder, the main thing, Marty Snyder's son, got it done in overtime. They're holding off. He held off Reddick at that time, but Reddick did not finish second because what I just said. Hemric and Brandon Jones were battling behind Reddick at that moment of time as well. But Myatt Snyder coming in there with the win there, his first ever in NASCAR. Not only that, his first ever Xfinity Series as well. So that was huge for him as well. After that, though, he had some solid runs after that, though, but never quite, he made the playoffs the first time, obviously, but never got, he improved from then on, but he just caught a bad end of the stick later on in the season. But we saw Snyder with some good runs, especially late in the season. So that's one of my honorable mentions there. Myatt Snyder in overtime in the Xfinity Series early in the first quarter of the Xfinity Series season, getting it done there over a Cup rookie and former Xfinity Series champion there. And my second one comes kind of on the what should have been a win, was not. Another Xfinity Series moment from this year. Martin Truex Jr. was dominant in this race, right? This comes in Atlanta. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, man, we got this thing wrapped up. But, of course, I should know better than that because Truex, for whatever reason, when it comes to having dominant cars, now he has capitalized over the years in those. But he should have more wins in the Cup Series than he has. But obviously, he hasn't because of the fact that he was speeding on pit road or making the wrong adjustments. Pit road is too slow, too fast entering pit road. Too fast off, and I believe it was too fast off, or entering one of those two. But either way, got penalized on pit road with that, cost him, and the handling of that car changed, and Justin Allgaier got stronger and stronger as the race went on there, and then Truex got up to the front there. And this, actually, by the way, a lot of crap happened at this race, especially after the fireworks. After there was fireworks. This should have been in top 10, but it's turned out to be the number one honorable mention on my list. But this a lot of happened here. You had, let's see, Josh Berry getting the grass. You had Gregson and Hemric get together on pit road. You had another incident on pit road. I can't remember the car was. And you had a punch pushing and shoving, punches thrown there after the fact. It was Truex's interview that the fight started on. It got interrupted. So a lot of heated moments there after the fact, but Truex tried to run down Allgaier. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. Yeah, that changed the game because you don't speed there. MTJ walks away with a ass-kicking of a victory there in the Xfinity Series, but that did not happen, unfortunately, at my home, quote-unquote, home-and-home track there. I'm from the state of Georgia originally, and I was born close to the Atlanta Motor Speedway track, for those of you who do not know. So, you know, it's sort of on my bucket list to go back, but we'll see. But, you know, that was costly there. You speed on pit road, and, yeah, like he usually does when he has a good, fast race car, dominating race car, you speed on pit road, not by accident. by just by mere inches, and yeah, you get in the back of the field, and then your car changes the handling. But this Justin Allgaier, he was just strong from the first green flag run on. I mean, the dude got stronger and stronger, and capitalized was right there at the right time. He capitalized on that situation where, you know, crap happens, right? So I wasn't actually mad. I was not mad at all on the CCCA, but I'm thinking to ourselves, hey, we get out of pit road, we got a chance to win this thing. And we did not. We instead, of course, speed on pit road and everything else like that. So that was kind of unfortunate there, but that 54 Xfinity Series car for Joey Gibbs Racing was just on another different plane all year long. You had Truex in it, Kyle Busch in it, John Nemechek in it, winning in that car. Denny Hamlin was in it. Ty Gibbs obviously in it. Artara mentioned him in the first half of the podcast tonight. So, yeah, I mean, that should have been in the bank right there. And fortunately, what there wasn't happen. I should know better. We all, as fans of Martin Truex Jr., should know better. Now, you know, we got to hold our breath on pit road. We got to hold our breath that something stupid or odd doesn't happen. It's just weird. It's just, for whatever reason, it's been weird like that. I don't know why it is when it comes to that type of point. That's kind of the honorable mention there. Both of them, Xfinity. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3, the season finale here on the podcast. Eddie Greer with you guys here. Now entering top five, right? I'm actually going to switch this on the fly to 4 and 5. So number five. We're staying in the Xfinity Series. Daniel Hamrick pulls off the double. I'm not talking Xfinity Cup. I'm talking championship and winning your first race in the same race. Finally, after all these years, seems like we've been waiting on this for, what, since Daniel Hamrick entered in the Truck Series back, what 4 or 5 years? 4 or 5 years ago? Not even that. At least has to be 5 years, something like that, because Daniel Hamrick's growth he's risen quite fairly good in NASCAR. And even I said it back then, I mean, Daniel Hamrick, he's going to get a win sooner rather than later, but it comes later, but at a perfect time for him to do that. Obviously, he put a lot of pressure, a lot of stock, a lot of bet on himself to get things done. And Daniel Hamrick, like Truex in the Cup Series, she should have a lot of wins. That 18 for the Joe Gibbs Racing was fast all year long, but for whatever reason, Daniel Hamrick put himself in odd situations that he should not be in, or, you know, something happened to him where, oh damn, there he goes again. Just like, I believe it was Texas, where in the playoffs, where you have an opportunity to win that race there. John Nemechek, he's not even running for the championship. He's just in there getting laps in that car. You know, anybody put in that 54 car is gonna race in the top three. I could drive in that and get home the top three finish and maybe win that thing. Win a race in that thing. Who knows? But yeah, he puts himself in bad situations where you get caught in somebody else's mess or speeding on pit road or put yourself in an awkward situation on the racetrack where you should be up front. So, you know, just listen to his story a little bit after the championship is over. I'm like, damn, with a family, we have something in common. We have a little family. We do have that, but damn, I would not, that would be pressure. You know, I mean, I've been in my share of some adversity moments, but to put that on the line, to do that and just say, hey, I mean, we're a top five organization. We need to be racing for top five and wins. I don't feel the top five or win, I don't deserve a paycheck. Damn. I said that in the championship preview. I said that, you know, that's a lot. And a man's supposed to be leading the family. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Put that pressure on yourself. Some people perform well under that type of situation. I kind of do to a certain degree as well. So yeah, I mean, that right there, what he did that night, he was a car to beat. I mean, yeah, Austin Cindric had a good fast short car speed, but when we saw that 18 wasn't going away. That 18 was fast, especially late, caution after caution, especially those last 20 laps in that championship race there, where, okay, you know, This, you got to get, it's now or never. And Dave Rogers, give Dave Rogers a lot of credit for, you know, cheering, pumping Daniel up at the right time, keeping Daniel's head in the game when it mattered. And Daniel Hemric delivered. He delivered in a big way. Got it, won his first race in the National Series. And not only that, you top that off by winning the championship in the Xfinity Series. And not only that, you deny Austin Cindric for going back to back there right at the land down to the wire. So I mean, I'm even fired up just thinking about that right there. So Daniel Hemric, manned up, pressure was on him, and he got it done. So that right there to me, that showed a lot of something right there for Daniel Hemric. Not only to do that, but to step up, finally, to step up, close races out, close games out. Do what you need to do, and you're going to be okay. And Daniel Hemric did just that. I mean, finally, after all year long, giving up races won, giving up those races to an Allmendinger or a Cindric, you finally come through. And really, Hemric, he could have won at least four or five more races. You look back at the... But Daniel Hemric won when it mattered. He got the job done when it mattered. Cashed in big time at Phoenix.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast continues. Number 4, history in the making. Yes, history in the making. Hell yeah. Bubba Wallace getting it done. And unfortunately, I was at work at the time this happened. This is very unfortunate that I was at work at the time when this happened. We've had a couple of Bubba Wallace fans on the show, obviously, and we're going to get them back on the show, hopefully, in 2022. Yeah, but Bubba Wallace at the right time. Bubba Wallace is a good speedway racer. It just hangs around that. I'm excited for the Daytona 500 in February just for the fact that Bubba's been damn close to winning that race, and it will shed another pair of shockwaves. But this right here, coming back to where all that drama happened, not going to go deep into that. We all know what happened a year and a half or so ago now, and then with all the fallout of that, and then turning around to go back there and to put yourself, again, it's chess. When you go speedway racing, it's chess. You got to put yourself in the right spot, especially late, and weather played a havoc in this as well. We didn't think this turned out to be a 2-day race here, because this was supposed to run on Sunday. Did not. It would run on a Monday, unfortunately. I was at work. And especially, this is huge, not only for NASCAR. And if you've been a big listener for a while on this podcast, I want this to continue into 2022. I want to branch out differently from all the other podcasts, right? Look, still have that relationship with Rev Racing. Shout out Rev Racing for our relationship. I mentioned them on this in the last couple episodes in the podcast, anyways. We've had Ross Kruth on, a big Bubba Wallace fan. We had another big Bubba Wallace fan on this podcast, Justin Champagne. He was going bananas after that. You saw after that went after the win. Daryl Kinsey Jr., another one, another shout out. Hopefully we'll have him back on the podcast here next season. But you know, I was pumped up, and this is going to be the guy that I'm going to be going when MTJ hangs it up. You've heard me say this. For those of you new, obviously Martin Truex Jr. is my guy, and Bubba Wallace is second. But when Martin Truex Jr. Decides to hang it up, Bubba Wallace is going to be the guy. Obviously, why? Because, well, African American, right? This is the guy you want to pull for. This is like a Tiger Woods of NASCAR right here. And yes, you know, he's controversial and all this other stuff. He speaks his mind. Bubba is not afraid to speak his mind, right? That's what I like about the guy. He's another one that puts it all on his shoulders and goes out there and does the best he can. Now, he had to hold off two pits of cars. This is a theme so far in this podcast, right? McDowell had to hold off Keselowski Logano. Who did Bubba Wallace have to hold off? the same guy, the same cars, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, same cars that Michael McDowell did. And this race ended, obviously, with the weather coming there and then the emotion and everything else. More, I think, if not my favorite celebration moment from the year, Bubba Wallace celebrating. I love it. The celebration, everything. Yes, I love it. Booty Barker getting his, I think his first. There were a lot of firsts across the board, if I remember that weekend. Of course, Wendell Scott, history-breaking moment for NASCAR here. Huge, huge. Obviously, you know, I just got done listening to the recent Dorba McClure episode, the Christmas special, where they were talking about Kurt Busch getting all these laps and Bubba Wallace not there, working out the details of the car. Look, listen. I think it's going to be beneficial to Bubba in 2022. I think with Kurt Busch coming on there to that 2311 team, then running that, driving that Michael Jordan's other number, the 45, which Kurt Busch is going to be driving in 2022. Kurt Busch is a savvy veteran. He knows what he's talking about. Very knowledgeable, always with the race cars. I think this is going to be what Bubba needs right here. I think it's going to be a match right here. I think Bubba can capitalize on some of that. And obviously, Kurt Busch is another pretty good speedway racer, a former Daytona 500 champion, so, and a champion of the sport, too. So, Bubba can add that to his repertoire as well. But, you know, going back to that moment there, this was history-making moment for the sport. Color barrier-breaking moment here. I mean, he's huge, not only for Bubba, but all the African-Americans, Hispanics, Latin, yeah, you name it. It's huge for everybody. For a prime example, Nick Sanchez, who I had on a podcast for the past and a couple of weeks ago, talking about, it was huge for that team to get a win. So, yeah, I mean, anything other than, yeah, I mean, somebody outside your normal race car driver, you know, gets a win, like African American, Bubba Wallace, Haley Deegan, has some good runs this year in the truck series. I speaking all types of levels of ethnicity in this sport, and that's kind of what my mind is want to focus to for 2022. Get people on here. Talk about their journeys, and Bubba certainly had an interesting journey, but finally in cashing it in, getting that victory, he's almost certainly close to get it. We all know what happened when he came on the scene at Daytona 500 a couple years ago when Austin Dillon stole the show there. Bubba Wallace, all attention was on him. He nearly pulled it off and could have set something huge, and he still can still with the opportunity. So obviously, I'm really excited to see where this 23. Obviously, 23 is the flagship car of that race team. 45, yes, 45 still is the teammate to 23. But 23, we know the number 23 in basketball, right? Michael Jordan, what he did in that sport, right? So 23, what will Bubba Wallace do next season? Obviously, we'll see what happens there, but. Yeah, Talladega, that was something there. Bubba Wallace, he methodically moved his way up to the front, and when it mattered, he was fighting tooth and nail those last, 10, 15 laps there, and he put himself in position when the weather came around that track. He was there. He took advantage of it, and he beat the Pitsy cars. That's for sure. That's fourth favorite moment here. Number three, a rivalry fresh, baby. This is one of the favorite. Yeah, number three, Bristol. This was for sure right up there. Kyle Larson won this race, obviously. He won. I think it was his first win at Bristol, I think. If not, yeah, he was his first win at Bristol because, yeah, he was beaten by Matt Kenseth a couple years ago. But Kyle Larson finally cashed in at Bristol after the disappointment of getting knocked out early in the dirt race there earlier this year. Kyle Larson, battle back, won the race there, but there's a little rivalry up in there. Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick started with, yeah, late, the craziness of all this. You know, with this was a playoff race, and with Almirola, Byron in and out, other plot trying to transfer into the next round and whatnot. All the crazy Tyler Reddick trying to get in. Yeah, it was just a lot of crap happening. A lot of you know what happened going on in that race. And then on top, with a cherry on top, whipped cream cherry on top, this. Oh, I think Chase Elliott. Yeah, Harvick make a little contact with Chase Elliott, going for either third or second at that time. Chase goes down pit road. All right, and then next thing you know, a couple other drivers went down pit road too late in this race too before cut tires and whatnot. And then later on, a few minutes later, maybe 5 minutes later, Chase Elliott, Steven Madden, comes at Harvick there with a little, I think, sideswipe or whatever. Harvick did not like it. And then the little cat and mouse game. That was really funny what Chase Elliott was doing. The cat and mouse game didn't want to get hit there, which caused Kyle Larson to go further and further. Kyle Larson wins the race, and then the showdown happens on pit road there. Chase, Kevin, face-to-face there, get into it, and then it gets even escalated even more, and then pushing and shoving starts there, and then, Chase ain't afraid. Yeah, Chase's been like that for the last year and a half now. He's really not afraid to speak his mind either. The quiet guys he is, good guys he is, Atlanta Braves fans he is. He's not afraid to show emotion either. Calls Kevin out a little bit. Harvick with the emphatic slam with his helmet to the top of the car. Almost looked like helmet slam, helmet, top of glasses, car. Yeah, he was at. That's the most I've seen him, Harvick, pissed in a long, long time. I've never seen Harvick like that ever. That kind of carried in to the. To off the track field, the two of them still pissed off at one another, and then the whole NBC, this was real funny. NBC there, give me a shout out to Jordan Bianchi there, to this day, still want to share what happened there, there, now, hey, that's his business, man, respect to Jordan Bianchi right there, but yeah, that was all funny there, and then Harvick was still not happy, so they took the conversation to Trey, and then there's Josh Jones was all in the way. I'm going to let that be what it is. But that was right there. That was one of the more Bristol entertaining Bristol races right there for me in quite some time right there. Even better than the dirt race from this year. That was just something else. Woo!
Listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
All right, we're closing in on the end of season 6 of the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Greer, aka EG3, number 2 favorite race from this year, 2021. We're staying with Kyle Larson, Darlington. Opening of the playoffs, and this one started out wacky too with some of the wrecks that happened early on in this race there. But towards the end, this was another race, and this actually kind of connects with number one favorite race of 2021 for me. Martin Truex Jr. had a chance again to win this race. He did finish third, but he was caught again speeding on pit road in this race as well. Oh, go figure. Kind of a common thing tonight on this podcast. So, yeah. I think he had a best long run car. If he doesn't get caught, he was actually in position to lead this race. He was in the position to, he beat Denny Hamlin off pit road and be the lead of this race. He was going to win it. And NASCAR said, you sped on pit road. You got to go back tail end. Yeah, adventurous night actually for Truex. There, at one point, he had to go down the pit road for either a loose wheel or a cut tire. I can't remember. I know it's either one of those two. But yeah, Truex had a chance to probably sweep Darlington and came up 2 spots short. Why? Because this video game finish. Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, obviously a former. Denny Hamlin actually got his first win. At this year at Darlington late. This was probably the latest Denny's won in his career to this point. Yeah, he had no wins coming. This was a playoff opener for the Cup Series NASCAR. So this race had a little everything. Wild sequences, turn wild ups and downs. We're in trouble. We're done. And to a point that, oh damn, we have a chance to win this race. Damn, and we did not. But we still came back to finish third there. And Larson, him and Larson, they're going at it. Give me another 2-3 laps there. I think Truex could have been even a major player at that. But, yeah, that video game had Kyle Larson, last chance, a la Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson at Kansas way back. I don't know how many years ago. Now, that tells me, y'all, how old I am. But, yeah, that was something else. And Larson almost pulled it off, but. He was glued. These cars were glued to the wall. The lady was holding these holding on these cars really tight. It's Lady in Black. She didn't want to let them go. They were too tight to the wall. And Hamlin beats Larson to the line there. And yeah, Truex was really closing in these guys. So lucky for those two, it wasn't even another lap involved, or even two at that. I probably give it another lap there because he. Martin was closing, and which is ties in to my number one race of 2021, the ass whooping Darlington style, the black matte car Darlington. Shout out auto owners, Martin Truex Jr. wins it with the dominant race car, and yet common denominator Kyle Larson comes in there late, tries to run down Truex late. Oh, I thought Kyle was going to do it. I thought again, it goes back to what I've been saying all the rest of the show today about Truex. We don't want to get into a down rabbit hole with Truex, obviously. But you see, I can recall a lot of races. But yeah, I thought caught with the way Truex luck in front of with these late races and whatnot. I thought, oh gosh, here he comes, Larson, race over. Oh my goodness, I'm pacing back and forth. This actually happened on two transitions because I had to go. We were planning on going to our small group, the fam, or for church, from our church. And I said, yeah, turn the race on. And then next thing I know, Larson is ever so closely closing on with his lap, with his stupid lap traffic that Martin does not like at all. As you heard in the past, but Martin had a strong race car, and bam. He delivered. He cashed in. He cashed in big. Big at that moment in time. I believe that was Martin's second or third win. I think it was third win. Yeah, I think Darlington was his third win because he won Martinsville. And then he won at another track. He won Phoenix. Yeah, he won Phoenix. Yep, he won Phoenix. Then he won Martinsville. Yeah, he won Martinsville as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now. Yeah, the wheels are turning now. So, yeah, that for me, both Darlington races were really good. And they're... Eventually, 1 and 2 on my top list of races of 2021 for me. My favorite races from 2021. Both of them, Darlington, this year in the Cup Series race. Martin Truex Jr. winning that race there. Dominant, holding off Kyle Larson late in the fourth quarter. And then the whole Denny Hamlin-Kyle Larson battle there late in the playoffs there to seal it for Denny Hamlin there. To get his first win and kind of sit off a good stretch for Denny in the playoffs there for that 11 car. So that is my top 10 favorite races from 2021. This has been an absolute blast going back. I thought this was going to be a little short, but I hit the actual mark for this one as well. So yeah, definitely I was thinking about, I don't have a lot of time to hand out awards. I'm just going to, let's just do something slightly different. I'm gonna do my top 10 favorite races. So that's what I have for you guys right here. So definitely it's been another NASCAR season in the books, and a new era in 2022 is almost here. It's almost, well, the year 2022 is almost here, but a new era in NASCAR issuing, beginning really at Daytona 500, but officially beginning with the iconic Busch Clash at the Coliseum in Southern California. Man, that's going to be something else. And we're going to have a lot of time to talk about that as well. I'm looking forward to it as well. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Folks, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Audio Boom, iHeartRadio, and more. The 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast. You missed an episode. You're not a subscriber to this podcast. Do that during the hiatus, during this time. And I will be still be, I'm going to do a best of, maybe two best ofs during the 2 or 3 weeks. I will be taking a break and then be back with all new episodes, beginning talking about news and whatnot happened over the course of the hiatus, as well as starting to get you guys right for the Clash, the debut in Southern California, and the debut, really, of the new generation car of NASCAR in the Cup Series. I cannot wait for that as well. It's been another blast in the books. Season 6 of the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast is in the books. 3 Wide Nation, I appreciate you guys for listening all year long to the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. All of our current listeners who've been with me since we went national, I appreciate you guys as well for sticking out with me all year long. I've moved my recordings, my postings, really, to Sundays, and I'm probably going to stick with that, with my schedule. It keeps my rhythm going instead of, you know, going, unless it's an interview during the week or breaking news or something like that, it will be during the week. But yeah, we're going to stick with that for next year. I've been posting all my previews and recaps and previews on Sunday morning before the race actually begins, the Cup race anyways. So I've been doing it a little bit different this year, but hey, I got it done. Season 6 of the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast in the books. Everybody, appreciate you guys. Hope everyone had a great Christmas weekend. Have a safe, happy new year. Have a holly, happy, man, I'm almost out of fuel. Have a happy rest of the holiday season. Happy new year. Lord willing, we will talk to you on the new year. Have a good rest of the week. Have a good new year. We will talk to you guys on the next edition of the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
To the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 Wide.